Thank you, Sheila. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all today. Assuming there are no Republicans in the House for a moment, what was the highlight of the coronation for you yesterday, I wonder? Was it the music? Just a beautiful selection of choir pieces, other pieces. That beautiful moment when Bryn Terfel sang in Welsh for the first time in a coronation. The Ascension Gospel Choir, just the joy and the energy that they brought. I wonder, was it the parade afterwards? 4,000 armed forces personnel marching, 20 different bands all marching to the same beat. 40 Commonwealth countries represented on the parade, alongside the Army, the Air Force, and the Navy. That three cheers from the gardens of Buckingham Palace gave me goosebumps. Was it the service? From the start, it was just extraordinary, wasn't it? Vivant, they shouted. Extraordinary. And then that moment when the king is stripped of all his regalia and in that simple cotton tunic, hidden away from our eyes, he's anointed as the kings of Israel were anointed, with the singing of Zadok the priest in the background. I mean, I have to say, I think every clergy person around the country is thinking, what on earth are we going to do today? You're all going to leave feeling slightly disappointed with what we put on. I have to say that the choir have done a brilliant job. So thank you to you. I think the cake looks amazing. The flowers look amazing. The bunting's great. So it's only me, really. Heather, you've done a great job. So I'm the weak link here, I think. But I would say for me, the thing that really surprised me, because there had been a lot of conversation about it prior to the service itself, was I think there was no confusion that day, yesterday, who held the power. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." At the very start of yesterday's service, that young boy from the Royal Chapel stood before King Charles and he said these words, "Your Majesty, as children of the Kingdom of God, we welcome you in the name of the King of Kings." So I thought today we might just spend a few short moments thinking about who is this King of Kings and what kingdom does he reign over? In the Old Testament, we're reminded again and again that it's God Almighty who is the King. Psalm 93, "The Lord reigns, the great King above all gods." So God reigns. And yet, from Genesis 3, throughout the Old Testament, through in today's world, that reign is resisted and it's contested. That contradiction that even we find in our own lives between doing what we want to do, wanting to live for God, and what we end up doing with our own struggles. And increasingly in the Old Testament, the Bible talked about one who would come and make things right, a liberator of people, restoring things, restoring the way that things should be, bringing justice and equality to all. Isaiah 4, "A day is coming. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. And over this land there'll be a ruler." Isaiah 9, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." And by the end of the Old Testament, that hope is expressed in this phrase of a new age to come. And as we go into the New Testament, referred to more clearly as the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is coming when all will be made right, when all will be restored. Well, what is this kingdom that the king reigns over? I'm sure you know the phrase. It's an upside down kingdom. The people of this kingdom are like this. Jesus says that the first will be last and the last will be first. In Matthew 5-7, he outlines what the world will be like, what it will be like. Jesus says there are all kinds of different people who are going to be happy and blessed in this kingdom. But it's not those that you and I expect. It's the poor in spirit, those who mourn and grieve, the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart. These are the people of the kingdom, not the great and the powerful and those who lord their power over others. What's the work of the kingdom? Well, we heard that reading yesterday in the coronation service. It's to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty for captives, recovery of sight for blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Beautifully in the service yesterday, there was that moment when they hand King Charles the sword. And the Archbishop of Canterbury said this: "Receive this kingly sword. May it be to you and to all who witness these things a sign and a symbol not of judgment, but of justice, not of might, but of mercy. With this sword, do justice. Stop the growth of iniquity. Protect the Holy Church of God. Help and defend widows and orphans. Restore the things that are gone to decay. Maintain the things that are restored. Punish and reform what is amiss, and confirm what is in good order." Beautiful words. This is the kingdom of God. These are the works of the kingdom of God. A kingdom where we learn to forgive one another, love our enemies, give to the needy, pray and rely on God, not yourself or your wealth. Don't worry, don't judge. Invest your life in things that will last. Stay pure. These are the works of the kingdom for you and I. And what about the king? The Bible has a lot to say about who this king is. He's a suffering king. Isaiah 52 describes that this king will be one who's despised and rejected, afflicted, killed for his people. The passage that Sheila read to us describes, without pulling any punches, the life of this king. He's a servant king. We heard that yesterday. One who comes to serve and not be served. He's a liberating king. Luke 18. "Truly I tell you," Jesus said, "no one who's left home or wife or brother or sister or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." And finally, he's the King of Kings. Isaiah 9, "He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and holding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." So it was right that King Charles' response to this question was as it was: "Your Majesty, as children of the kingdom of God, we welcome you in the name of the King of Kings." And King Charles replied, "In his name and after his example I come, not to be served, but to serve." And so the invitation for us today is to worship the King of Kings, to pay homage to him in our lives, to give him all that we have, all that we are, all whom we love, to give him everything, trusting that in his death and resurrection, we too will receive life in all of its fullness and know that life after death, but also through the power of God's Spirit in us, enjoy life and liberty now in this world as well. Jesus Christ, King of the Jews, King of Kings, our King, we worship you. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for all that we've received from you. Thank you for the life that you offer us. May we live not to be served, but to serve. And with our lives, pay homage and worship to you all of our days. Amen.